Welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes as we talk about faith and the importance of faith in the different areas of our lives. Whether today you're in the workplace or a student, maybe you're an at-home parent, maybe you're taking care of a loved one, or maybe you're someone who has never really had faith before and you're starting to search for what your purpose is. Well, the next 30 minutes, we interview everyday people who share their everyday faith. And today, we are going to start with a chapter in the Bible, one of my all-time favorites. It's Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. So hang in there with me because it's a little bit of a longer section of the Bible. But I love this chapter. In fact, at the end, when I've had many of our listeners ask me, what is Mark 5 Ministries all about? It comes right from this chapter. So here we go. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man, and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said to him, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Jeff Gaffney, your host. Thank you so much for joining us today. We now have all of our podcasts. They're loaded on iTunes if you want to hear the previous programs, or you can go to our website. It's mark5ministries.com. Again, this is Everyday Faith Radio. Jeff Gaffney, your host. Thanks for joining us. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back with today's guest. Please stay with us. And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle. Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program today is my good friend Rick Tamburino. Rick is a Charlottesville businessman, husband, and father in the community. Rick, thanks for being on the show.
Jeff, it's an honor to be here.
Hey, on this program, we like to talk about faith, and so I may start a little bit, if you could give us just a little bit of your faith journey. And then what I want to head to is kind of the difference that faith has made in your life.
Sure. That's great. So, again, thanks for having me. This is, like I say, it's an honor. You know, I think that our paths are not terribly too dissimilar in terms of where our faith started and kind of where it progressed. I grew up in a Catholic household, the seventh of seven children.
Mm.
And
baby Rick.
Yeah, baby Rick. Now that's how I'm going to be known.
Yeah,
thanks.
Right. That's on Twitter right now. Hashtag baby Rick.
That's right. Trending now. you know, it was just part of our dynamic. And we had just some phenomenal parents. They passed on to be with the Lord now. And that's fantastic to know that that's the case. But you know, I went to Catholic school, you know, learned all the right things, right? I knew how to sit and kneel and bend and stand and, you know, move my hands in the right locations and things like that. Mm-hmm. So that's what my life looked like, you know, and it worked out pretty well. I mean, I mostly thought I had my act together with that. You know, I candidly, I didn't know any better. You know, mm-hmm. you were doing the same thing as the kid beside you. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then I grew up in Richmond. And then we moved to Pittsburgh, and I wasn't in Catholic school anymore. I was in public school, but certainly a nice area still. And we went to Catholic church up there, and I was involved in all the activities and things of that nature. And right out of high school, I went in the Marine Corps. And when I was in boot camp, they needed to have – I'll tell you a funny story about that. So when we came in, you know, we finally got our final platoon, and people who are Marines know what that means. But so we got our final platoon, and the drill instructor said, all right, we need all you Catholic recruits on this side and all you Protestant recruits on the other side. Mm. And I knew I went over all the Catholics. And all the Protestant kids are arguing. They're like, hey, I'm not just Protestant. I'm Baptist. I'm this. You know, like they're trying to like section themselves off. Drill instructors don't want to hear it, you know. Like, if you're not Catholic, you're the other thing. Just get over there. And what they needed from both groups was they needed a lay leader. And, man, I had all these credentials, you know, from like growing up, like I did this and I was in Catholic school and I was a leader of this in high school and blah, blah, blah. And they just went, wow. And there I was, you know, I still even have like a medal that I have, like a commemorative medal from my platoon where I was the Catholic lay leader. Mm. And then I got to start going through life, right? The Marine Corps is kind of a pretty isolated place. It's kind of a, you know, insulated, right? Like as long as you keep your nose clean and do what you're supposed to do your job, things are going to be okay for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I never could consider what it would be like to have a family when I was in the Marine Corps, because there's just too much, you know, pick up and go and, you know, that type of thing. And so when I got out and started doing real life, you know, I just picked up the practice and kept going with it again, right? But what I really didn't understand was that I was doing a whole lot of play in church, you know, instead of actually connecting with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't until, well, it was you and I, right?
Yeah.
So a couple years back, I'm working at a job and you're actually a client of mine. And one day you said, hey, you should come to this thing, right? And man, I tell you, just the Holy Spirit just said, yep, that's a plan, right? I had no control, and which is awesome.
Mm.
And went to that first group meeting, the Faith and Leadership Forum guys that we've been with for like 6 years now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it really, I mean, that was when I really started to have a mind, but even more importantly, a heart for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that I was working really hard at being a good guy before, you know. But now, I mean, it was such a lot, so much pressure off of you, right?
Mm.
Well, you just understand that all you have to do is like give in, right? That's all that's required.
And it's probably countercultural to the Marine to surrender, right?
Well,
it's like that's not a common phrase for the Marines.
Right. Well, and the other thing is, you know, like you and I both lived our early lives, and you, both of us kind of do now, you know, on metrics, right? Like, you know, we both did athletics, and so you got to go out and run this many miles, or you got to accomplish these things or whatever. And that's just how you measure your life,
mm-hmm.
you know. And Christ just says, man, you don't need all that.
Yes.
Yeah, I just need your heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I get chills thinking about it, you know.
That's awesome.
Yep. So anyway, we started diving deeper into the Word, you know, mm-hmm. started to really understand what all these things meant that we listened to, you know, because you know how it is in Catholic church, you know, it's... You get two readings and then the gospel,
right.
and then we used to joke around, right? The priest would give a book report, you know, and like that's, you know, he had 6 days off, the least he can do, right?
That's, if you could understand it.
That's right. That's a joke, though. Those guys work real hard. But you're right. If you could understand it, right? Because you may not have that background.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an incredible blessing to be with, you know, the guys that we're with. Now it's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, mm-hmm. right? But just the knowledge they bring. And man, I had this revelation, if you will, last time. It was not this past Thursday. It was the Thursday prior. And that stuff was just so solid, like the background knowledge and the historical yes. context. Mm-hmm. And I just thought to myself, man, if you don't believe in Christ, like you don't believe in bridges, mm-hmm. right? You don't believe in physics because mm-hmm. it's just so, there's as much proof and real, yes. you know, content, you right. know, mm-hmm. Those everyday miracles, they're mm-hmm. right there for us mm-hmm. that if you don't believe in that, there's a lot of stuff you shouldn't mm-hmm. be believing in.
The case yeah. for Christ.
That's right.
And the yeah. evidence.
That's right.
You know, it's
that's
right there.
That's
well,
right.
And then, so I'm wondering about now as you sort of look back to your early formative Catholic days, can mm-hmm. you see during that time where maybe the Lord had his hand on you, or did you feel kind of any kind of connection with Jesus while you were in church, whether it was just a feeling or a sense or a knowing that, hey, I'm in the place that I'm supposed to be. Maybe I don't know a whole lot exactly what's going on, but yeah. this is a good home for me.
That's right. Yeah. So and first and foremost, what I want to make sure that I'm really clear on is, you know, I don't have any ill feelings toward the Catholic Church. I think they do phenomenal things. In fact, that the liturgy, you know, is just so incredibly beautiful. And mm-hmm. I understand kind of now I better understand the purpose behind these things,
yes.
right? Because it's this whole thing where you're honoring Christ the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole context behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as a kid, and, you know, I knew there was something, I knew there was always a guiding force in my life as a kid. And then when I was in high school, you know, I kind of colored outside the lines a little bit because I went to Young Life, mm-hmm. you know, in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And what a great program.
Good place to be.
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm. But then you start to get that little Protestant influence, you know, the Catholic kid doesn't know what to do. You know, like we get mm-hmm. to sing songs and have a good time.
Right.
And, man, this is fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the Marine Corps, too, you know, because, you know, there's lots of opportunities to go off the rails, you know, with the type of things you do. I mean, it's a bunch of guys. They're always trying to one-up each other. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity for you know, negative influences to come in.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely see where, you know, you look in hindsight, like that's the old adage, right? You think that the path you're taking is this crazy zigzag, mm-hmm. and you look back in hindsight, and Christ just had you on this incredible path mm-hmm. the entire time.
Right where he wanted you.
That's right.
This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're talking with Rick Tamburino. And, Rick, we're going to take a break here in just a minute or so, but can you touch on one of the things that I think is happening in the greater Charlottesville area is that I just think that there's this spiritual revival that's happening, and you can see it in a lot of the growth in both the Catholic churches here, but also there's a lot of newer churches that are forming and doing very well. You and I are friends with a lot of the pastors. And so I think there's this spiritual explosion that's happening. And I know you and I probably, I think you feel the same way as I do, is you're just excited to be kind of a part of it.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And
yeah.
witnessing something that I really think that our children's children are going to look back on and say, talk about that group that met on Thursdays
That's right.
at the
That's
Hyatt
right.
and really got into the Word, and then how then, you know, faith was growing and faith was spreading and men were giving their testimonies.
Right.
And crazy guys like you and I are on the radio talking about faith. I think they'll talk about that later on.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like there's two aspects of this, right? There's the aspect of like the old thing where you buy a new car and then all of a sudden all the cars you see look like the cars you
right.
saw,
yes,
right?
Yes.
There's a word for that. But you think that, okay, is that what's going on? But then you just see the mass explosion, like you say, just see this, all the content and the people. And I don't just see it here, but it is definitely concentrated here.
Yes.
There's just no doubt about mm-hmm. that, right? So you've got churches like The Point and City Church and Portico. You've got all these churches, and all these churches have such an incredible heart for Christ,
mm-hmm.
right?
With great pastors.
Right, with great pastors. Yeah. I mean, and I didn't even know what that could look like, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And really, as a kid growing up Catholic, the whole thing of like a regular guy being a pastor.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
It's kind of blowing. we've had Gabe Turner on this show several times, and we've had several people from both City Church and also from Portico as well. And Chris Atwell on this program,
yeah. Yep.
Several times, and so it's great to have them on because those guys, their heart runs so hot for God,
right?
And they really lead you into. And when you're around those guys, you're just like, man, there's something about you that I want to sit next to you. Rick Tamburino, we're going to take a break. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about faith in the work life. This is Everyday Faith. We'll be right back in just a moment. Please stay with us.
And in your hour of desperation, though you're not the only one, praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Hey, welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in with us this morning. I hope you are off to a great Sunday. We have Rick Tamburino on the program. And Rick, again, I'm so appreciative that you would step up and be on the show and talk about faith. Man of faith, hardworking guy in the community, and a husband and a father. Rick, I want to kind of tie this together as I give you a question here, but that Mark chapter 5, when I read that story, even though, you know, whenever I share it with my family and kids, you know, every now and again they'll say, well, I don't really see what you think is so fantastic about that story. I mean, this guy who was demon-possessed running amongst the caves, he's chained and all that, and it's like, no, you don't get it. For me, what I see is this guy who was this way, and then he encounters Jesus and he becomes a completely new and different person. And then he goes and says, Jesus, I want to come with you. And Jesus turns to him and says, you know what? I need you to go back to your home and tell all your family and friends of the great mercy and love that God has had for you. And that, when I read that the first time, Rick, I'm not kidding you, I felt like that was written directly to me.
Right, yeah.
And I took that and I said, you know, I'm claiming Mark chapter 5 is my chapter in the Bible. It's mine.
Right.
I'll share it with you and our listeners and Caitlin in here.
Yeah.
I just love, and there's much more. There's two other phenomenal stories in Mark chapter 5 about the woman with the bleeding woman and the hemorrhaging and you know, she has the courage and the faith just to reach up and touch the tassel of Jesus's gown. And then at the very end, you have Jairus. He's a highly esteemed Jewish leader who his daughter is dying. And so he runs to Jesus out of panic and says, can you help heal my little girl? And Jesus says, yeah, let's go, let's do it. But along the way, they find out that his daughter has passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus comes in and says, no, she's not gone.
Right.
She's not gone.
Right, yeah.
Let me in. And there's a, you know, it ends with kind of this resurrection of the little girl comes back to life. And so I read that, and I get chills every time I read it. I love it. And but where I'm going with it is that part about where Jesus met the demon possessed man. He calls himself Legion because he was filled with legions of demons. But he was told to go back to his home and talk about the grace and mercy. I want to ask you, as I've witnessed kind of your spiritual revival here the last few years, what kind of difference has faith made in your life, kind of in your daily life as a business guy, as a father, as a husband? What does that look like to you?
Yeah, so I mean, that's a great question. What I took when you were reading that story, the thing that kind of struck me was, and I don't know if I ever heard it before, was the part about, or if I heard it, I didn't hear it as clearly, was the part about where people were afraid and didn't want Jesus around anymore.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And that's a little representative of, you start doing these things, you're going to these Thursday morning meetings, you're doing a couple other things with these guys. Mm-hmm. There's a couple people in your life who are going, man, what are you up to over there? You know, maybe mm-hmm. they're not, maybe you're not as close as you once were with those guys, you know? Yeah. And some of them, unbelievers, whatever the situation is, but it's funny to see, I don't want to call it abandonment, you know what I mean? But it's just not the same.
There's
crowd,
a friction
right?
there that happens, yeah. and particularly when your faith starts to, as we see it with you, and you and I again share a lot of things.
Is yeah. that,
you know, as you start to consume God's word, you become changed.
Right. That's right.
And the Apostle Peter says we become born again as we read his, as we read God's word. And so something's just start, something new and different, and I will say much better, starts to sweat out of your pores.
Yeah.
And people around you will start to say, I mean, what is it with you?
Right. And it's funny because there seems to be like a natural attraction.
Yes.
And a natural repellent.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Mm. So, but what I think about, in terms of like my journey is, you know, in large part, our journey has been with other brothers, right? Like we're great, you know, with other, you know, believers in our life, male and female. But for us, a lot of it's been our brothers coming alongside of us. Right. And there was, you know, there's that heart transformation. And there's something about, you know, this, in my journey started with Ephesians 6, mm. right? And put on that full armor.
Of God.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. Breastplate of righteousness and the whole thing. And that's where my journey started. Mm. I just kind of did one of these things where I said, I'm going to go for a walk or a run or something like that. I'm going to listen to some of the word. And that's, and for whatever reason, if Ephesians 6 was just a magnet mm. for me, and shoom, that's where I went, mm. you know? And the thing I think about, you know, and the other thing about Ephesians 6 is locking that armor together, mm-hmm. right? So we've got this impregnable wall to get, you know, for somebody to come at us, which is just fantastic. And I think a little bit about a couple topics come to mind. One is shortly after I started going to Faith and Leadership, our daughter Ava was born, mm-hmm. right? And she was born at Martha Jeff. We quickly learned she had a congenital heart defect, truly life-threatening, mm. right? She wouldn't have survived, you know, a day outside. And she had to be shipped over to UVA. And it was pretty incredible, the peace that I had, mm. right? Just an incredible peace. Mm. Because what I knew was, you know, she's a beautiful gift, right? But in the off chance she was going to go to be with the Lord, we were going to be okay with that too, mm-hmm. you know? And I don't think if I hadn't had that level of calm and that anchor, I don't think we would have gotten through that the way we did. Mm. You know, we had some crazy stories that came through that and some incredible blessings, you know, and some incredible blessings that continue to blossom. Mm. So it's.
And how old is Ava today?
So Ava's 5 now.
My goodness.
Yeah, isn't that incredible that long ago?
So how long did she stay in the hospital?
So she was in the hospital twice. She was in the hospital for an initial repair for her congenital heart defect. So she was there for a couple weeks then. And then we had to kind of, you know, beef her up a little bit. She had to grow a little bit for her second surgery. And she went in at 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So she's got the zipper, you know, yeah. she's kind of in that club. Mm-hmm. And she knows, you know, she has a special heart, you know, mm-hmm. she kind of knows the dynamic behind mm-hmm. that, and she'll have some more work done, later on, mm-hmm. you know, but at the same time, you know, I mean, just that incredible gift of her and, mm-hmm. You know.
So tell me during this time, because,
right.
Although, you know, these are often, it's hard to describe until you've been there, and certainly you've been there, and there's a certain beauty in the midst of a very painful situation. Yeah. And it's not unless you're traveling with Jesus along
right.
the path do you get to experience that beauty. And it's not something you'd probably ask for or ever even re-up for. But once you come out the other side, you come out really kind of changed and impacted, which I can hear in your voice as you talk about your your daughter going through, your daughter Ava going through this. But talk to me about that moment when you really felt like Jesus was with you during your kind of the wonder of what's going to happen. And as a father, we always want to be in charge, and we want to, you know, provide for our families. And now you have to kind of, again, we get back to that surrender word. We
That's
have to
right.
say, you know, this is yours, God. And talk to me about that just a little bit.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, that surrender had already kind of, you know, burst through and already had kind of taken over my heart. So that was nice for me, right? I didn't necessarily have to have that epiphanic kind of a state, you know, which was great. But I can tell you, my walking with Christ through that situation, it's almost like it put on a pair of glasses that I could see things that almost nobody else could see, you know?
Spiritual eyes.
That's right. That's right. And you could see things like the love of somebody that was just coming from, you know, and they say things like, you know, when somebody's going through that tough situation, sometimes you don't need to say anything. You just need to be there. Right. But it's just the love that somebody expressed, or the things that some people will say coincidences or, you know, whatever, but you know, they're spirit led, you know, that happened and you see that and it's like something that you could never have seen before without that.
It's Ravi Zacharias terms that the grand weaver. Yeah, that at some point you're able to kind of step back and see how God is kind of creating this tapestry through all the events in your life and the occurrences and the people that brings in and the people that he takes away.
That's right.
And it's the grand weaver behind it all.
Wow.
Rick, we are finishing up here, but I do want to give you a moment to talk about your latest passion that you're involved in. Can you talk to us about that real quick?
Sure. So just one thing, and I think you had our friend Mike Ferruccio on the broadcast one time. He may have talked about that as well. This as well. He and I both are involved in this program. There's a program called Operation Restored Warrior, and I believe it's operationrestoredwarrior.org, easy to Google, right? And it's this great program that a man by the name of Paul Lavelle came up with. It's based on a lot of content in the book Wild at Heart, right?
John Eldridge.
Yeah, John Eldridge. Exactly.
Eldridge?
Yep, that's exactly right, Eldridge. And he was actually with Eldridge for a long time, working this program for just regular folks, right? Men. And then he is a 26-year Air Force veteran. And he thought, man, there's something going on in that veteran community that I've got to be involved in. And I'm a veteran. Mike, our friend Mike, is a veteran as well. He's also on the police force. And while neither one of us saw combat, we definitely have a lot of friends who have been through those trials, and a lot of friends who've been through those trials and aren't here anymore. And Operation Restored Warrior is this great program that you know, you hear the statistic a lot more nowadays. Thank, praise God that you hear the statistic more often. Not that it's a great statistic to hear, but just the fact that it's getting airtime. 22 suicides a day of veterans that we lose, right? And so this Operation Restored Warrior program is this great program. It's by put on by passionate men. They're all veterans, and it's really a process of cleansing the heart. Right, giving you a new heart, and it's focused greatly on post-combat veterans, because the things that they see and the things that they go through, it's just they're unimaginable things, right? Our parents didn't talk about them, right? Like my dad was in the Navy in World War II. I think your parents were roughly around the same, and so they just weren't things that people talked about. And I think that's too bad, because we probably could have learned a whole lot from them. At the same time, you know, we're learning a lot more every single day.
Rick Tamburino, thank you so much for coming on this program. And you have been a blessing in my life and many others. So, Rick, I want to say to you and to your family and to all of our listeners, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and bring you peace. Thank you all for joining us on Everyday Faith Radio. We'll see you next week.